Chapter 12. After my first visit to Boston, I spent almost every winter in the north. Once I went on a visit to a New England village with its frozen lakes and vast snow fields. It was then that I had opportunities, such as had never been mine, to enter into the treasures of the snow. I recall my surprise on discovering that a mysterious hand had stripped the trees and bushes, leaving only here and there a wrinkled leaf. The birds had flown, and the empty nests in the bare trees were filled with snow. Winter was on hill and field. The earth seemed benumbed by his icy touch, and the very spirits of the trees had withdrawn to their roots, and there, curled up in the dark, lay fast asleep. All life seemed to have ebbed away, and even when the sun shone, the day was shrunk and cold, as if her veins were sapless and old, and she rose up decrepitly for a last dim look at earth and sea. The withered grass and the bushes were transformed into a forest of icicles. Then came a day when the chill air portended a snowstorm. We rushed out of doors to feel the first few tiny flakes descending. Hour by hour the flakes dropped silently, softly from their airy height to the earth, and the country became more and more level. A snowy night closed upon the world, and in the morning one could scarcely recognize a feature of the landscape. All the roads were hidden. Not a single landmark was visible, only a waste of snow with trees rising out of it. In the evening a wind from the northeast sprang up, and the flakes rushed hither and thither in furious melee. Around the great fire we sat and told merry tales, and frolicked, and quite forgot that we were in the midst of a desolate solitude, shut in from all communication with the outside world. But during the night the fury of the wind increased to such a degree that it thrilled us with a vague terror. The rafters creaked and strained, and the branches of the trees surrounded the house rattled and beat against the windows, as the winds rioted up and down the country. On the third day after the beginning of the storm, the snow ceased. The sun broke through the clouds and shone upon a vast undulating white plain. High mounds, pyramids heaped in fantastic shapes, and impenetrable drifts lay scattered in every direction. Narrow paths were shoveled through the drifts. I put on my cloak and hood and went out. The air stung my cheeks like fire. Half walking in the paths, half working our way through the lesser drifts, we succeeded in reaching a pine grove just outside a broad pasture. The trees stood motionless and white like figures in a marble frieze. There was no odor of pine needles. The rays of the sun fell upon the trees, so that the twigs sparkled like diamonds and dropped in showers when we touched them. So dazzling was the light, it penetrated even the darkness that veils my eyes. As the days wore on, the drifts gradually shrunk, but before they were wholly gone, another storm came, so that I scarcely felt the earth under my feet once all winter. At intervals, the trees lost their icy covering, and the bulrushes and underbrush were bare, but the lake lay frozen and hard beneath the sun. Our favourite amusement during that winter was tobogganing. In places, the shore of the lake rises abruptly from the water's edge. Down these steep slopes we used to coast. We would get on our toboggan, a boy would give us a shove, and off we went, plunging through the drifts, leaping hollows, swooping down upon the lake. We would shoot across its gleaming surface to the opposite bank. What joy! What exhilarating madness! For one wild, glad moment, we snapped the chain that binds us to the earth, and joining hands with the winds, we felt ourselves divine. End of chapter.